Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1073. This is your host, Danny, and joining me for this episode right here, we have Paris. What's going on, man?
Hey, what is going on? Good morning, good morning. Thank you, everyone that's watching us live and everyone that is listening to us on the podcast. This will be an interesting one.
A very interesting one. Shout out to Pete. He's not going to be joining us for this episode, but stay tuned for next time he would join us, man. So shout out to him, man. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. You could find us on any podcast app. All you have to do, just search for Gamertag Radio, subscribe, follow us, and even post a review if you can. Or if you have a smart speaker, like, you know, Google Home or what's another one, the Alexa, you could also search through there, say Gamertag Radio, and they'll also will play the podcast either through Amazon Music, TuneIn Radio, etc. So that's awesome, man. All right. So if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode or segment, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so look, before we go to the topics, Paris, we have a lot of voicemails. I'm not going to play in this episode because we have a lot of things to talk about. But stay tuned. The next episode, I'm going to play a lot of those voicemails. I think the last time I checked, we have between 20 to 30 voicemails. So stay tuned. It's a lot. It's a lot of voicemails. So keep it up. All right. So Paris, the conversation, man, ever since we had this breaking news last week about Xbox acquiring Bethesda, this was the talk for days. I mean, people are going to be talking about this for a very long time. But one of the interesting things that people are always bringing up is Bethesda still going to release games multi-platform, still release on Nintendo Switch, PC, PlayStation 4, 5, etc., right? And also, of course, Xbox. So people are thinking, like, that's going to happen. It's going to continue. And I've been checking out a lot of the tweets from, you know, just regular consumers. But I'm very surprised to see a lot of journalists also bringing this up. I'm like, wait a minute, why? This doesn't make no sense. Why did Microsoft should release these games multi-platform and not release it just strictly for their ecosystem, which is Xbox, the console, PC, xCloud, which makes a lot of sense, right? A couple years ago, I mean, right after 2013, especially for this generation, the talk was that Microsoft has been lacking when it comes to exclusive, right? First-party games. So the past few years now, Microsoft has been acquiring a lot of studios because they need the exclusive content so they could get new customers and also existing customers to buy the product and continue to use it and support the company, etc., right? So that's the main reason we're seeing all these games now and all these studios, I mean, being acquired from Microsoft, and we're going to get to see a lot of exclusives in the future for the next-gen console, right? I don't know why people are still bringing that up, that we need to, that they need to release this as multi-platform to make that money. So we're going to have this conversation right now, Paris. I know you've been very vocal about it on Twitter. Let's go from there, man. Your thoughts and how this conversation came about, that you wanted to post about this on Twitter.
So
go from there.
So XCast, kind of funny, XCast, you know, I've been on there a few times, and I watch it every Saturday morning, 6 a.m. when it comes out. I really enjoy it. So I'm watching it, and I hear Gary Whitta and Alana are talking about it. And Gary is emphatic that Bethesda will still have their IPs on PlayStation. And as I'm listening to this, I trust me, I did not mean for this to blow up into what it did, but I'm just watching it real time. And I just tweeted out my thought that I go, wow, I think this is the first time I'm actually disagreeing with what they're saying, because I don't agree with Gary. I just don't. I don't see Bethesda, their major IPs, being on the PlayStation platform moving forward. And I'll say it this way. $7.5 billion. Not 75 million, not $7.50, $7.5 billion. You do not acquire an entire publisher and all their studios and their intellectual property to just have timed exclusives and DLC perks and first on Game Pass and things like that. You spent, that is almost double what Disney spent on Star Wars. Think about that, okay? Mm-hmm. And I understand the arguments that come out about, whoa, look at Minecraft, look at this, look at that. Of course, Microsoft is not going to rip away existing deals or existing IPs that have shown up on other platforms. So again, just looking at it from a Bethesda standpoint, Fallout 76, is it going to continue to be everywhere? Of course it is. Elder Scrolls Online is going to continue to be everywhere. Makes sense, right? But when we start to get into the new sequels and the new IPs that Bethesda's working on, it doesn't make business sense to make that major of an acquisition and leave everything status quo. Why did you spend $7.5 billion then? You could have spent, quote unquote, $75 million and got all those games on Game Pass or some timed exclusive deals, things like that. No, if you're going to absolutely acquire that publisher, you're doing it because you're doing it to bolster your library, to bolster your exclusive lineup. So one of the main arguments I've seen this entire time is that Xbox needs PlayStation. They need to continue to, for, because they can get the 30% cut. It's smart business. They can make more money that way. So let me throw this scenario out at you. Google and Microsoft are both trillion-dollar companies. I think we can all agree on that, correct? Google
correct.
Has their own gaming platform in Stadia. I think we can agree on that, right? Google also is in the business of making money. I think we can all agree on that too, correct? If correct. Google would have purchased Bethesda, if the same thing happened, but it was Google that just did it, what would people be saying right now? Well, Bethesda's going exclusive to Stadia, because that's exactly what would have happened. It would not even be showing up on PC. It damn sure wouldn't be showing up on an Xbox or a PlayStation or Switch platform. It would be exclusive to Stadia. And why would Google do that? Because Google is trying to bolster their platform. They want you subscribing to Stadia. That's the whole point here. This is the whole point of what Microsoft is doing. Microsoft, sure, short term, they could lose some money by not having those IPs on PlayStation. And again, they're going to honor the agreements with like Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo, things like that. That's not going to change. I'm talking about future sequels and new IPs that are going to come out. Sure, short term, there might be a loss, but Microsoft is $1.5 trillion company. That's $7.5 billion that they spent. You know, I'm not saying it's a drop in a bucket. That's obviously a lot of money, but they can absorb that loss. They can handle that kind of loss because they're looking at the long game here. And what is the long game for Microsoft? They want you to subscribe to Game Pass. Ultimately, that is what they want you to do. They want you to subscribe to Game Pass because they want you in their ecosystem. If they were to allow Starfield and Fallout 5, etc., to be on PlayStation, sure, they'll get a short-term financial gain from that, but you know what they're not going to get? They're not going to get that PlayStation guy that was never going to subscribe to Game Pass or buy Xbox hardware to second-guess themselves and reconsider. What they're trying to do is to get people to subscribe to Game Pass and potentially buy Xbox hardware, because their ultimate plan is this. When Phil Spencer talks about, you know, gaming for everyone and all that kind of stuff, it ain't about PlayStation. It's about subscribing to Game Pass. You have the option to buy Xbox hardware. You have the option to play on PC. But the real Trojan horse is that cloud. Because guess what? just on Android alone, there's over a billion people on Android, not to mention the people that are being on iOS and all that. They're trying to get people that are on mobile devices to start playing games. So that's why they're bolstering their Game Pass library to show this robust thing to get people to consider that. They can't worry about, you know, the potential 100 million, and it's not even 100 million realistically. You're probably talking about 20 million people potentially that would pick up a Bethesda title on PlayStation versus anywhere else. Again, and that's being very generous, even saying 20 million. They can't worry about those 20 million when there's a billion other people that they're trying to get into their ecosystem. They don't want you sitting outside the ecosystem. You buying a $70 Fallout 5 does not give you the incentive to want to go subscribe to Game Pass. You see what I'm saying? So there, you have to make things exclusive. That's the whole point of this. And I understand people are like, oh, Microsoft, this is a different Microsoft. They're trying to make gaming for everyone. Listen to what Phil Spencer has been saying. Yes, listen to what Phil Spencer is saying. At no point has he said, we're putting it on PlayStation. He just says they want gaming to everyone. Now I'll tell you this. If, and this is not happening, if Nintendo and PlayStation were to say, yep, we'll allow Game Pass, guess what? Fallout, Elder Scrolls, all those, Halo, everything will be on PlayStation. Because now, guess what? Now you're subscribing to Game Pass. That's the point. They have to give you an incentive to subscribe to Game Pass. And the only way they can get a PlayStation person to subscribe to Game Pass is to take those IPs away from them and give them the incentive. Like if someone really wants to play Fallout, they really want to play Starfield, The Elder Scrolls, Doom, Wolfenstein, on down the line, you can't allow them to play it on PlayStation if you want them to subscribe to Game Pass. This is business. This is the long game. Stop looking short term. The long game says those titles will not show up on a PlayStation platform. And if, again, if you listen to what Phil Spencer is saying, he goes, case by case basis. In other words, I don't want to rock the boat right now and say crazy stuff until the deal is final. Because that case by case, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen on a case by case basis. Should we allow Starfield to be on PlayStation? No. Should we allow The Elder Scrolls 6 to be on PlayStation? No. Should we allow Fallout 5 to be on PlayStation? No. Should we allow Wolfenstein 3 to be on PlayStation? No. On down the line. This is the point I'm trying to make. They want you subscribing to Game Pass. That is the end game here. You would not have seen such a big deal this week from all these execs at Xbox, even Satya Nadella himself saying this, 23 studios, all that. The whole reason they're keeping Bethesda as a publisher is they don't want to rock that boat, that workflow, that what that publisher has accomplished over the past couple decades. They're going to allow them to continue to do their job as they've been doing it. But guess what? When it comes time to actually publish the game, guess who makes that call? It ain't Pete Hines. It ain't Todd Howard. It's Phil Spencer. And I'm telling you, it ain't showing up on PlayStation. So look, I've seen the arguments both ways and I get it, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm trying to look at this beyond 2020, beyond 2021, 2022. I'm trying to look at this when the Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, when Starfield comes out. Where is Microsoft going to be positioned at that point? You know, it just doesn't make sense for them to make this big of an acquisition and spend that amount of money to just leave things exactly the way they are today. Why spend the money if that's what you're doing? It makes no sense. Because again, yes, they are in a business to make money, but they're not chasing just the PlayStation guy. They're trying to chase more than that. They want PlayStation guy. They want the most angriest Sony person on social media that just detests Xbox. They want to give them a reason to invest in the Xbox ecosystem. And how do you do that? With exclusive titles. It's the only way. You can't allow them to just keep playing the same games on their platform and think that they're now going to subscribe to Game Pass. That doesn't make any sense unless Game Pass comes to that platform. That's the point. So until that happens, you will not see these games on PlayStation. That's all I'm saying. So I know I've talked a bit here, but
it's good.
But yeah, that's just what I think. I mean, I'm not saying I'm right. It's all opinion because the truth is none of us know. Nobody knows. The only people that know are in Redmond. That's it. Yeah. No one else knows.
Yeah. Yep. But here's the thing. you know, remember when we found out all these studios that Microsoft acquired, right? A couple of years back when we were at E3 Paris, we were like, oh my God, we were like all like surprised and shocked with all these studios coming up back to back, back to back, back to back. Did anybody brought that up? Oh, we have to have Hellblade on PlayStation or so-and-so game on PlayStation or Nintendo, right? This all the conversation started because of Bethesda. And for some strange reason, people are still bringing that up. And the key thing, Paris, that you brought up that nobody's talking about, because everybody's talking about consoles, is the mobile devices, man. Not only that, remember, there's also going to be apps for smart TVs, especially with Samsung, that you could play these games without even buying the console by just subscribing to Game Pass. That's the vision that Xbox is trying to push. Forget about the consoles, man. It's beyond that. And people are not really putting that together, man. They're thinking about the old school way. Oh, we gotta sell these games. Do you know that companies make more and more money through subscription services than actually buying a game? And here's why. When even if let's say, for example, Netflix, right? They've been investing a lot of Netflix exclusives, right? Only for that platform. They're not selling it. They just have it there, right? Mm-hmm. Even if there's like horrible content, but those movies or those TV series exclusive only for that streaming services will make people to subscribe. And that's nonstop income coming in for the company, right? When it's a game, it's not 100% if someone is going to actually buy your game that now between $60 or $70. It's not 100%. But if you start adding content nonstop on that service, that means the people are going to stay using Game Pass. There's going to be more people signing up, right? There's going to be more people signing up through the PC, maybe through the console. Maybe this will make them buy the next-gen console too. You know, because look, think about this. Why would Microsoft announce about acquiring Bethesda 24 hours before pre-order starts? What was the point of that? It was because they want to get the consumers excited and for them to also pre-order the console. There was people that are not fans of Xbox. They even said, well, I got to pre-order an Xbox Series S now because of this announcement, because all those games are going to come out exclusive only for Xbox and it's not coming to PlayStation. So there is a reason why all this is happening, man. Microsoft have been investing money on getting studios because they were lacking with first party content, with exclusive content. They were lacking during this generation. And that was a conversation for a very long time from a lot of people. Now those same people want those games on multi-platform. Doesn't make no sense at all, man. But Paris, I know you have the video interview from Phil Spencer. This was on Yahoo Finance a couple of days ago. And they were talking about the breaking news about Bethesda. And they asked him about these games. Are they going to be exclusive or is it going to be multi-platform? He had a great answer. I think this is by far the best answer that I've seen from all the interviews that he had this past week. You want to play it?
Yep, let's play it.
This is probably the question that a lot of people are wondering. What does it mean for first-party exclusives for something like an Elder Scrolls? Will we only see that on Microsoft systems, or will it go across other systems similar to what Microsoft has done with Minecraft?
Yeah, really excited about the announcement this week that we intend to acquire ZeniMax, amazing studios. There takes our overall first-party studio organization to 23 creative studios. Just a real big investment in content. And really, for us, Xbox Game Pass is the flywheel that we're feeding there. We have over 15 million subscribers now for Game Pass, and it continues to grow across console, PC, and now with streaming to phones. And we want to make sure that subscribers to Game Pass feel like they have a consistent set of games to go play. In terms of where games will show up, our commitment is that our games will show up in Game Pass and on PC and on console and be available in xCloud. In terms of other platforms, I think we'll take it on a case-by-case basis. But as the Xbox community, what they should feel is this is a huge investment in the experiences that they're going to have in the Xbox ecosystem. And we want Xbox ecosystem to be absolutely the best place to play. And we think game availability is absolutely part of that.
All right. So listen to what he said.
Yep.
He said that these things, it's about Game Pass. It's about that investment into Game Pass. And this goes back to what I was talking about before. Game Pass ain't showing up on PlayStation. But Game Pass, guess where Game Pass is going to show up? It's going to show up on Xbox hardware. It's going to show up on the PC. It's going to show up on mobile. This is the point. They are going to put their titles to where Game Pass can also show up with it. This is the key to everything that they're doing. This is why he's talking case by case basis. That's just PR speak. Because if they were going to have games show up on the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation, they tell you that. They would say it out loud. But they're not saying that because this is not the same as the Minecraft deal. I know everyone keeps going back to the Minecraft deal. I get that they spent $2.5 billion on that. But you got to remember, there's no Minecraft 2. This is the difference here. There's not like they're coming out with a Minecraft 2. They're not going to rip away the Minecraft IP from its existing platforms because that's where it already lived. Same as they're not going to take away existing games from the platforms that they live on. So again, I'll go to the Deathloop thing. Deathloop, that deal is done. Deathloop is showing up on a PlayStation 5. So of course, they're going to support that. They're going to support the exclusive deal that Bethesda already negotiated. But I tell you this, if there's a loophole that Deathloop can also show up on Game Pass PC day one, bet it shows up there. I guarantee you, the second that console exclusive deal ends for Deathloop, it's going to be on Xbox platform. It's going to be in Game Pass. It's going to be on mobile devices. That's the point I'm trying to make here. It's not about what already exists. It's about what's coming from them. So you have to look at it that way. And to be fair, I think, let's take a game like Quake as an example. Because even Minecraft Dungeons is actually a good example here. Minecraft Dungeons or In the Blind Forest, things like that. These are not major AAA titles that, if they're exclusive to one platform, it's going to force you to want to go run out and buy an Xbox. I can see those kind of things showing up. You know, like I said, Quake as an example, being a multiplayer title with crossplay and all that. Of course, they want as many people to jump in and play something like that. So something like Quake absolutely could show up on a PlayStation, could show up on a Switch, things like that. I'm talking about the big IPs. The big IPs will not show up on a PlayStation platform or a Nintendo platform until Game Pass can show up along with it. That's the point. And at that point, it ain't just about the individual title. It's about the entire Xbox ecosystem being available on the PlayStation platform or the Nintendo platform, because that's what Game Pass is all about. Microsoft is in the Game Pass business now. They're not in the individual physical copy disc business anymore. Of course, they're going to exist, but they're only going to exist on their platform in that scenario. They want you to subscribe. This is the point I'm trying to make here. When I saw this went down, that was my instant thought. This is about Game Pass. This is not about making PlayStation people happy. That they're not in that business. What they want to do is they want to take that PlayStation person and get them to be happy inside the Xbox ecosystem. That's the point. That this is why you spend, I'll say it again, $7.5 billion. You don't spend that amount of money for timed exclusive comes to Xbox first. That makes no sense. You don't do that to when you like literally own these IPs. Like I said again, Todd Howard don't make the call no more. Phil Spencer makes the call on what happens with Bethesda IPs. You don't spend that amount of money to then just let Bethesda continue to be Bethesda. What are they, just a charity? Hey, Todd, here's $7 billion. Have fun. No, that's not the point.
A charity.
And let me throw this in there as well.
Yeah.
One other thing that Bethesda has that people aren't talking about is Orion. That was their cloud streaming tech. And supposedly, it has some super low latency things in there that are revolutionary, allegedly. I don't know for a fact. These are just, you know, the internet. This is what I've read. But think about that as well. They're also acquiring that. Guess where that's going? That's going to get integrated into Project X Cloud, because again, the long game for them is the cloud. That's the long game, because that's going to enable more than just the standard 200 million people that play on console. That's going to enable the other people, the billions of people that play on mobile, to now start playing these games. And guess what? Subscribe to Game Pass. That's the whole end game here. So look, I say one last time, I understand the arguments on the other side. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just pointing out where I'm leaning, what I think I see the direction that they're going. And again, none of us are going to know until Phil Spencer or Satya Nadella or someone specifically says it. Until we see a Wolfenstein 3 or Fallout 5 show up on a PlayStation platform, then you can say I'm wrong. But right now, I just don't see it. I don't see that happening, because you don't spend that amount of money on this kind of acquisition to just leave things exactly the way they were. That's all I'm saying.
Here's my question for those who are listening and also watching on Twitch. If it was PlayStation that acquired Bethesda, will you be saying the same exact thing? Oh, PlayStation needs to go multi-platform. Would that conversation come up? No. Those games will be exclusive for PlayStation. We might see a PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, maybe PC, and that's like a huge maybe. But that's it. I don't know why everybody's bringing this up just because it's Bethesda, man. I don't know. Studios have been acquired, and nobody has mentioned this. You know what's up, Paris?
Well, no. The reason is people are basically saying that Microsoft's philosophy isn't the same as PlayStation's, to where Microsoft just wants their game. They want to be all inclusive to everything, and I get that to a point, but that point stops, like I said, when Game Pass can't be on that platform. Game Pass exists on the PC. Game Pass exists on Android, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why you see that stuff there. But Game Pass doesn't exist on the Nintendo Switch or the PlayStation. This is the point. If they exist there, then you'll see the games there. That's all I'm saying. I think you really have to boil it down to those simple terms. You really do. But I will go back to the original point I made in what you're saying. Again, if PlayStation did this, no one would have even blinked an eye that all of a sudden all these Bethesda IPs would now be exclusive to the PlayStation platform. Again, let's be real about something else. PlayStation couldn't afford, or Sony as a whole, they don't have the assets to spend $7.5 billion to acquire Bethesda in the first place. So it wouldn't have happened. But like I said before, Google and Amazon does. They 100% do. And guess what they would have done? They would have made those games exclusive to their platforms, because that's what trillion-dollar companies do. And why Microsoft is not being viewed that way is funny to me, because you can't just assume. Like, I think there's a lot of assumptions here that, oh, well, Microsoft's saying they want to be friendly. Microsoft's in second place. So Microsoft's trying to be the friendly company. They're trying to be the consumer-friendly company, make everyone happy.
Third place, Paris.
You're right. But that's the point.
Yeah.
But they're trying to put themselves into a position long term to be the leader again. Don't think they're not. Yes, they are playing a different game than what PlayStation is doing. But like Phil Spencer, again, go back to everything Phil Spencer's been saying. What did Phil Spencer say? I don't know. What was that? About 5-6 months ago, and people got outraged. He said PlayStation's not their competition. It's Amazon and Google. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Yep.
They made this acquisition to keep those IPs out of Google and Amazon's hands, because now Xbox would have been locked out of those IPs, because they would have made them a Stadia, or what's the new Amazon cloud thing? They would have lived there.
Luna.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. If anything, be glad that Xbox is the one that acquired Bethesda, because it will be showing up on enough platforms that people do have some kind of choice on where and how they play it, versus what would happen if Stadia, God forbid, if Stadia got it. Jesus.
Oh, you have to buy it only on Stadia.
Oh my God. That would have been a nightmare. So
a disaster. Yeah.
But yeah, it's all opinion. None of us are right.
No, of course.
And that's the thing.
Of course.
I say that because this literally exploded yesterday. Like, even me and Alana were going back and forth on this. And, you know, she made the great point. She goes, it sucks that we can't have this conversation out in public. Like, we literally have to have this conversation here on the podcast, because it's you and I. If we try to have this conversation on social media right now, it's going to be an S show. It just is. Because people are going to make it personal. They're going to bring all this console war nonsense instead of just having an adult, logical conversation. There's pros and cons to how this may happen. And none of us are right, because none of us know. But it's unfortunate we have to have this conversation in DMs and, like I said, on a podcast format, because you can't do it in public because people will just bring their childish antics into it and ruin it. And that's why I even told Alana, I was like, I half regret even saying anything, because look how it turned out. It was just a freaking chaos on Twitter yesterday talking about this stuff. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's just an opinion, man. No one's right. No one's wrong. We're speculating. The truth is, none of us are going to know who's right or wrong, God, probably for at least another 2 or 3 years when we start seeing new Bethesda IPs, which, ironically enough, I guess we could kind of get an answer next holiday, because you got to think Bethesda had something that was going to be coming out next holiday. Let's see where it lands. You know, if it lands on PlayStation and there wasn't a prior agreement, then we're all wrong. But if there ain't no prior agreement and all of a sudden you see it showing up on Xbox, PC, and freaking Game Pass, then yeah, I think that answers a lot.
Yep. But you know what, Paris? I think it's okay to talk about this on Twitter, even if you see all these angry stockholders or analysts. I don't know, gaming experts. I mean, I don't know. Because everybody's like angry, man. Like angry about this thing, man. Look, it's a business, man. You know, same thing that we said about the Spider-Man situation, that it was only going to be exclusive for the Avengers game, only for PlayStation. Yes, there was a lot of people that were mad, but it's a business, man. We have to get used to that stuff, man. We're going to see a lot of major, major changes like this now, especially for this generation. Because look, this is not going to be the last time Xbox buying studios. They even said themselves, more coming. They're investing a lot of money again because they want to increase the subscribers, more people to subscribe to the service, man, of Game Pass, man. And it makes sense, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's good. It's good that we bring this up, man. Also, I think I was, let me see, a long time ago, I said that we might see bigger games on the Switch or something like that. Remember that from Xbox? Mm-hmm. I said that I think it was like a year ago or so. But I said that Ori Cuphead will be on the Nintendo Switch, and we might see Game Pass there and maybe the bigger games. The bigger games, I was wrong. Game Pass.
Wrong, because that got shot down. Phil said no. He said that it's not coming. Yeah.
But there's potential in the future. Maybe we might see that if Nintendo will allow it. But right now, Phil said no. So, yeah.
But that goes back to the point that I was making. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If Game Pass is allowed on the Switch, then that means all the games show up on Switch. That's great. Same with PlayStation. But we both know Nintendo and Sony are not going to do that. They're just simply not. They want you buying their games. They don't want you subscribing for $10 a month and then just being able to play all the Xbox games. They want you buying their games. They don't make money that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you, man, lately I've been playing a lot of Game Pass. I've been downloading a lot of games from there. Also the xCloud through the Note 20. I've been playing a lot of the games. Actually, for the past few days, Paris, I've been playing Destiny like nonstop. I haven't played that in a while. I haven't bought none of the expansions, but now the expansions are available there. And I'm like, hey, let me play this, man. You know, it's already out there. Plus the new one, I believe it's coming out sometime in November, November 10th also.
Something like that.
Around there. But look at that. I, as a subscriber, I'm happy. Now, also, another game that was announced a couple days ago, Doom Eternal. It's going to be available on Game Pass October 1st. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they want. They want to get people excited, buy the games. Actually, subscribe, buy the console, or use the device, and you can play all these games through the device. And we're going to see more of that and more of this push now once the next gen consoles launches. We're going to see a lot of marketing advertisement of Game Pass. You know, look, when we got the Kishi device in there, inside that box, there was a 14-day trial of Game Pass. We're going to see a lot of that too, Paris. Every time you buy a console, we're going to see maybe Game Pass are there. Even a couple of days ago, was it Taco Bell? The giveaway?
6 months, yeah.
6 months of Game Pass with Xbox Series X. They are pushing this service big time, Paris. And people are not seeing the bigger picture. That's the problem, man. They're seeing short term. They're not seeing the long term game. And I think the way how you explained it made so much sense, man. So much sense.
Yeah. And that was the thing. It's like, even on social media, like when people were like legitimately getting angry at me for thinking this, which is just ludicrous. But I'm just asking questions. I'm not saying I'm right. Like when someone would push back on it, I would just throw a question out there. I go, okay, well then would you feel this way if PlayStation or Google or Amazon bought them? Well, that's different because Microsoft. So it's like, okay, so none of us know. None of us know. It's like you're literally holding Microsoft to a different standard than these other companies. At the end of the day, they're all companies. They're all trying to make money. So again, the logic says to me, if Microsoft is allowing Fallout and all that on PlayStation, then screw it. Allow Halo and Gears and Forza and everything else on there. Why would you just stop at select IPs? You might as well put everything on there, right? Because you're trying to make money, right? But they don't do that. Why don't they do that? Because they want you investing in their ecosystem. Why doesn't PlayStation put Uncharted and God of War and all that on Xbox? For the same reason. Why doesn't Nintendo put Mario and Zelda and all that on everything? For the same reasons. This is how you got to look at it. And again, remember, Fallout, The Elder Scrolls, Starfield, Doom, Quake, Dishonored, Wolfenstein, Rage, on down the line, Prey. These are now
Evil Within.
Microsoft. Evil Within. Okay. Evil Within. But they're all Microsoft intellectual properties now. You must be lagging. I don't think you're hearing me correctly.
It's very laggy. Yeah. My bad.
But they're all Microsoft IPs now. So why would that logic be any different than Gears, Halo, or Forza or anything else? This is all I'm saying. It's just a question. If you can explain to me why it would be okay for Fallout and all that to show up, like the new Fallout, not the current one. Of course, Fallout 4, 76, Skyrim, Wolfenstein 2, Wolfenstein Youngblood. Of course, those things are going to stay on PlayStation. Of course, they're going to continue to be supported on PlayStation. Talking the sequels, the new IPs. Why would they show up on PlayStation at this point? Because now Microsoft owns them. That's all I'm saying.
Paris, let's take it back to the early days of the OG Xbox. Do you remember the day that we heard Microsoft acquired Rare? It was a complete shock for a lot of us because Rare made a lot of iconic games for the Nintendo 64. Even before that too, right? For Nintendo games. And I think they also did a couple of Sega Genesis games too. But that was crazy for us. We're like, what? They're making Rare is making games for Xbox? That's insane. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, we were not saying, well, is Xbox also going to release this for Nintendo and also for other platforms? Like, no. They acquired that studio to make exclusive games only for Xbox. It's the same exact thing that happened now, what's going to be happening with Bethesda and other studios too, man. So get ready. You're going to see a lot of the Xbox logos every time we see those trailers, man. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, if you don't agree or agree, hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or also you can send us a voice message, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Let's see how long. Okay, it's 40 something minutes. Cool. Awesome. So, Paris, very quick. I know you mentioned, we've been talking about this for a while, that you wanted to get the Mario 3D All-Stars for Nintendo Switch, which comes with Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and also Mario Galaxy, which is, I think, one of your favorite games. I've never played that until recently, by the way. So before I mention anything about this game, do you remember the original Mario Brothers All-Stars?
Yes, I do.
For the Super NES? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the reason why I liked that game a lot was they got a lot of the games from the original NES and they made it 16-bit graphics. It was like enhanced. It was really cool, right? Graphically, it was different, totally different compared to the first one. With this one, I felt like, don't get me wrong, Mario 64 and Galaxy are gems. Sunshine, I can't really say much because I was never a fan of that game. I haven't really played that much recently. Because I want to pass, I want to finish Galaxy first, right? Those games are great. I feel like Nintendo just grabbed those games and just poured it, and that's it. Maybe you'll see like a very small difference when it comes to like The screen is a little bit bigger and so on and so on. But Mario 64 is the same exact game. There's nothing really new with that. Mario Galaxy, because I know one of the questions you asked me, Paris, was about the remote. How's that going to play, right? Mm-hmm. So you could play with the Pro Controller. That's the one I've been using a lot. And I'm actually moving the controller while I'm using the buttons and the analog sticks. Like, it's very comfortable. It's not complicated or anything like that. But for certain things, like, let's say you want to grab one of those blue stars, I press A, I point it up a little bit with the controller, and you see Mario flying, and then you could let him loose and everything, right? Very cool. I just felt like I wish Nintendo would have take their time and made this game, this compilation, like, a little bit better and add some maybe like HD graphics and stuff like that, right? But they didn't, man. They didn't at all. But is it worth buying this? Yes, because it's three classic games that came out a long time ago. There's a lot of people that have never played Mario 64, which came out in the late 90s. I was one of those people that never played Mario Galaxy because that year, 2007, when that came out, there was nonstop games that came out, like great, great games, and I missed out completely. I think, Paris, you were the you got that game, right? It was that. It was BioShock. It was Halo 3. Yep. It was the first Modern Warfare. Oh my God, it was so many games that came out around that. It was insane. But yeah, I highly recommend it to get it, man. And I'm honestly, Paris, I'm really enjoying Galaxy, man. It's so good, man. Love the music. Soundtrack is great. And yeah, I'm kind of far in the game, man. I'm really liking it, man. You say it's complicated. There are certain levels that I find it really tough, man. Really, really tough. Maybe it's because I'm not used to the whole
remote
movement, but it's good overall. It's good. It's good.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying it. Like I said, to me, it's either second or third, my second or third most favorite Mario ever for me.
Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, Mario Galaxy. Right? Yeah. I mean, Mario 3, like I said, to me, that's just one of the greatest games ever. But Galaxy, it's up there. I want to say it's second or third. I'd have to think about it a little more. But yeah, it's absolutely one of my favorites. And yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Have you even played Mario Sunshine back in the days too for the GameCube?
Yeah, remember? Yeah. Maybe you don't remember the story. I got halfway through Mario Sunshine. And I was like, I don't like this. And I tapped out and I have not touched it since. So that's almost 20 years ago. So I am interested in that because I haven't picked this up yet. I'm probably going to get it here in another week or so. I'm going to give it a legit try again. And maybe I'll see because I know some people just swear by it. Right. But it just never grabbed me. It just never grabbed me. And, you know, at that time, and it just wasn't the Mario that I was looking for. And then ironically enough, Galaxy was the next big Mario game. And I'm like, that's it. That was the one. And here's another thing. You may not remember this. You were with me the first time I saw Mario Galaxy at E3 2007, the Santa Monica, the little hangar.
I was there. Yeah.
We went together. So you were with me. Because I remember I walked in, that was one of the first games I just started playing was Mario Galaxy. So you were like legitimately with me. And I remember I even found some old pictures where you can see me. I took pictures of Mario Galaxy at that E3 at the hangar booth, you know? So yeah, I just freaking love that game, man. It's amazing.
Yeah. For those who don't know, that was the year where they had E3 at Santa Monica.
Yep.
And we had to take a bus to go to that location. Because that was the convention style of E3.
Yeah.
they have little TVs everywhere and just go and play game stations. And we've got to play and everything there. Yeah. But, but you know what? I know that a lot of the younger crowds, that I've been talking to, they love Mario Sunshine so much. It was just not my thing back in the days for me, man. You know what I'm saying? Cause I felt like Mario 64 was up there. And then when I played Mario Sunshine, I felt like it was boring. And I just gave up on it. And I already told you my story about Galaxy. But Galaxy 2, is that a good game too for you?
Yeah, it's funny. I prefer the first Galaxy over 2's good too. Don't get me wrong. I prefer the first one though. if I had to choose between the two, which again, this, you know, this is what Nintendo's going to do. They're going to come out with another Mario collection, and 2 is going to be in that one, just to get people to double dip on this stuff instead of putting 2 in this collection, which it should have been.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's good. Overall, look, if you have a Nintendo Switch, make sure to cop this. I know this is a limited time release. I think is they're going to stop selling it like around March of next year. So buy the digital version if you can't find the physical version. But overall, those games are very iconic, and it's part of history. And I think it's important for you as a Nintendo fan or just gaming fan in general. I think this is like a must have for sure. And if you've never played Mario 64, go play it, because that was the game that completely changed everything. The game when it comes to like 3D games. Yeah, everything. Open world and all that stuff. Like, imagine playing that and then you play Zelda 64 after that, during that time. That was mind-blowing. Mind-blowing back then, man. You know? So, yeah. Must have. Must have. Anything else, Paris? Anything else?
No, I just super quick. I saw again Jeff Grubb. Had put out that that Mass Effect collection that was rumored to be coming this year is being pushed into 2021. And the reason being is they're looking to rework the original Mass Effect, because compared to 2 and 3, it looked completely outdated. So to anyone that have never played Mass Effect, if they jumped in and started playing Mass Effect 1, it probably would have turned more people off at this point than got people interested in that franchise. So it looks like Mass Effect 1 is getting some remastering done to it so it can be more modernized to go along with 2 and 3. So, and my response to that one was, honestly, I was only interested in Mass Effect 2 from this collection.
Yes.
But if they're going to go back and redo the first Mass Effect, that intrigues me. So I'm interested to see. So again, take your time. You know, no rush. Just get it out, get it right, and I look forward to it, because Mass Effect is a franchise that just deserves some love. Especially, you know, I've still never played Andromeda. Part of me wants to pick it up, but part of me also knows I don't have the time to play it. So it's kind of unfortunate that franchise, that particular game, you know, due to technical issues, you know, tanked. But I'm hopeful, you know, that they bring Mass Effect back and they just do it the justice that it deserves. That is an amazing universe that they created, and EA has just simply not done enough with it. They need to do more with Mass Effect.
Yeah. Part 2 was like the Empire Strikes Back of the series.
One of the greatest games ever.
It's that
good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. So, so good. Wasn't that game that they added multiplayer?
That was 3.
3? I didn't like it. I don't know why they added
3. Okay, and people get mad when I say this. Not a fan of 3 at all. I'm just not a fan. To me, it betrayed the momentum that they built with 2. Some of the payoffs that I was expecting to come off of 2 into 3 were honestly a huge letdown for me. They just were. That multiplayer, I dabbled in a little bit, but there's nothing I ever truly got invested in. I'm just not that big of a fan of 3. So.
Yeah, that was the time where every company was adding multiplayer on every single game.
Remember BioShock 2? BioShock 2 had multiplayer. Ugh.
Oh, just terrible, too. It was so bad. Yeah. So, so bad. See, I have the collection of BioShock 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and Infinite, I mean. And they don't have the multiplayer on that one. Thank God. They just strictly those single player, and that's it. So, see, there's games that it makes sense to have multiplayer. And some, please, just focus on the single player. That's it, man. That's the thing that I love about Bethesda.
Yeah.
They don't do that. Like, look, think about it. The majority of all their games is almost all single player games.
So you actually bring up one other thing with Bethesda thing, and keep it super quick here. What's been another knock on Microsoft? They don't have a lot of great single player experiences, right? So they literally went and got the publisher that's their specialty. Again, why do you think these things they're not showing up on PlayStation? I can't see it. Again, they want you to play it in the Xbox ecosystem. So, yeah. And let me say this one last thing about Bethesda, because I think this was also a good thing for them. That let's keep it real here. Dishonored, the Dishonored franchise, one of the most underrated ever, never sold well. Prey, the Prey remake did not sell well. You know, Wolfenstein has not sold well. You know, obviously we've seen the debacle with Fallout 76, didn't sell well. So they've made, and I'm not saying Fallout 76 is a great game, but those other games, they're great games. You know, even Doom Eternal, believe it or not, did not sell well. It had an initial, it tanked after a couple of weeks as far as the sales went. But my point is this, these are all games that are really freaking good, but the sales numbers haven't dictated it. So Bethesda, as the publisher, they've obviously not been making the money that they were hoping to make. Maybe they've not been meeting projections. I don't know. I don't know their finances. But now that they're a part of Xbox and these games are on Game Pass, those studios don't have to worry about that anymore. You see what I'm saying? Go make great games. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I tweeted out the other day, Dishonored 2 is already on Game Pass. Get Dishonored 1 on Game Pass as soon as they can. I don't know what agreements legally, if they can do it. Get Dishonored 1 on Game Pass. That franchise is grossly underrated. It is, like you talk about, a single-player experience. It's so freaking good. So good. And I know so many people haven't played it, but with it being on Game Pass, now you got the opportunity to do so. Absolutely jump in and play. Like, I haven't played Doom Eternal. Only time I played Doom Eternal was at Gamescom last year on Stadia.
Stadia. Yeah.
So yeah. It's now October 1st. Guess what I'm doing? I'm gonna play it because I've heard nothing but great things about it. So why not? Might as well jump in and play it. And I will say again, because you know I'm just a fanboy for it, when all the Wolfensteins are on Game Pass, go play them. You're gonna freaking love it. They're fantastic.
So good.
You get to kill Nazis. It's a great time. Trust me, you'll love it. So that's the power of this Bethesda thing. And then, like I said, Fallout, Elder Scroll, you know, whatever the hell this Starfield thing, which, by the way, I guess something leaked on Starfield, some screenshots or something, allegedly. I barely looked at it, and I know someone even DM'd me. It was like, you need to talk about this on the show. But I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Like I said, Todd Howard, even, you know, tongue in cheek, which, by the way, that was great to have Todd Howard, Pete Hines, Major Nelson, and Phil Spencer on that interview this week, you know, just candidly talking about it. You can tell they're all excited. But even he said on there, you know, hey, we're one day closer to Starfield. In other words, Starfield ain't coming anytime soon, guys. So I'm not going to sweat it now. There's way too many other important things out there to worry about. And there's way, you know, games that are coming this year that I'm excited about, you know, and one in particular especially. But this Bethesda thing, I think personally, and I'll shut up, I think this was good for Bethesda, the company, for those studios. Obviously, this is good for Microsoft because it bolsters their internal, their exclusive lineup. But I also think what's been one of the big complaints about Bethesda with their games, they launch buggy. Now they're going to have Microsoft resources. They're going to get better QA. I know Todd Howard even talked about, you know, new engines, things like that. So they're going to be able to collaborate with another studio like Obsidian down the road, and one day could come back and collaborate with Bethesda and make Fallout New Vegas. So I think as a gamer, again, forget your loyalty to your plastic. As a gamer, I think this is good. I do. I think overall this is a good thing. And I'm going to be excited to see what happens over the next few years.
And you know what? A few minutes ago, Paris said that a lot of these games that came out multi-platform underperform. So why should they continue the business of multi-platform if they're not really selling well?
Yeah.
So I think by doing this, now there's no risk on releasing a game and then again underperform. Now they're going to get a lot of people downloading it, and Microsoft is going to be investing a lot more money now in development and all that stuff. So this is a good, positive thing. There's more good than bad. And people need to see that, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So really cool. Really cool. All right. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, share with your friends. And also, if you get the chance, please post a review. It'll help us out to climb the top of the charts. All right. If you would like to be part of fan mail, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so stay tuned for another episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.